the Diamond Discussions Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Diamond Discussion Podcast alongside my co-host Joe Stumpo. I'm Mike Caliendo. Now, I'm sure you guys have seen the trade deadline lit the world on fire. There was deal after deal after deal. But before we get into anything, we told you that we had a guest last week and he might return. And guess who's back?
Brusev.
Back. Yes, sir. Back again. I mean, bro, better time. This trade deadline was epic, bro. Absolutely this, epic.
I think it was one of the best last days of any deadline for the longest that I could ever think of.
100% agree.
Spectacular.
This was like one of the best last 24 hours I've ever seen, to be honest with you.
So, incredible. Before we dive into everything, we obviously have our little tradition. Now, Brew, this is a first for the show. We usually have our guests ask the trivia question or at least create it. And you came up with yours, and now you actually get to give everybody the answer. So let's hear it and remind everybody what the question was.
Yeah, of course. The question to last week's podcast was, which MLB player has been traded the most at the trade deadline? And the answer is Jesse Chavez 8 times, which honestly...
Nobody got it right.
It's absurd. 8 times at the trade deadline, Jesse Chavez has been traded, which is crazy. It's
pretty crazy, yeah. That's why. That's actually pretty crazy. 8 times, wow. That's...
Yeah, Chavez. I'm so overwhelmed with all the trades that happen. I genuinely don't even know what my guess was. It was not Jesse Chavez. I'll tell you that much.
I couldn't even place like anything together. I just had no idea. I couldn't figure out a guy. I couldn't come up with a team that was trading for this guy at that many times. I couldn't get it. It was a really good question, and I was legitimately stumped, if you will. I couldn't come up with an answer. So I thought it was a very good question this week.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic, bro. That was amazing. So, all right, we had a ton go on today. Again, like I said, I'm still trying to wrap my head around everything that went on, just even between all three of the teams we root for. Guys, you already know this. I'm a Met fan, Joe is a Yankee fan, and Brew is obviously a Cardinals fan. No. No, Brew is obviously a Brewers fan. We had a lot of action between all three teams, and we had a lot of action with the teams we root for and their rivals. I mean, if either one of you want to kick this off, if you want to jump into your own team or you want to jump into maybe the most interesting trade or the most wow moment of this deadline, either one of you guys, take it away.
So I'll start off by saying I think this is for Yankee fans. I think Yankee fans need to apologize to Brian Cashman today. I think there are a lot of Yankee fans out there that doubted this guy. I mean, every year Yankee fans say who they want, and usually, I will say 80% of the time, Cashman goes out and he does what he has to do. If the player doesn't pan out, it's not really on Cashman, it's really on the player. You know, if he's filling a void and that player fills that void but yet doesn't produce, that's on the player. So I'm not going to get on any GM. If they go out and get a guy that the organization was willing to get, the fan base wanted, and the player doesn't work out. For example, Joey Gallo. Joey Gallo was someone that the Yankees wanted. The fans wanted it. He just didn't pan out. That is not, to me, Brian Cashman's fault. But in regards to today, in the last couple of days, the amount of talent that he was able to add to this team was, to me, phenomenal. I mean, David Bednar, Camilo Duvall, Jake Bird. He was also able to get Austin Slater and Amed Rosario. He gave up on Peraza and Everson Pereira today. Peraza went to the Angels, and Pereira went to the Rays for Caballero, which I thought was an interesting move. They got a lot of depth. a lot of fundamental baseball played by the guys that he got. Austin Slater is good defensively. Caballero is good defensively. I thought it was really interesting. And if you look at the bullpen now, you have four guys that have closing experience. You have Bednar, who's closed in Pittsburgh before. You have Devin Williams, who's the closer now and obviously was a closer in Milwaukee. Camilo Duvall was closing games for San Francisco. I mean, it really has turned around in the last 48 hours, the looks of this pen. They added Jake Bird, not a closer, but he's a phenomenal right-handed pitcher. The crazy thing was is that they actually did send Rock Riggio in that deal, who was, I believe he was the number 10 prospect in the system. But listen, you got to give if you want to get. So Jake Bird was one of the bright spots in Colorado. The fact that they were able to have four closers in their bullpen right now, you could literally talk about the Yankees being a five-inning team if you're a starter. You could go Duvall in the sixth, Bednar in the seventh, Weaver in the eighth, and Williams in the ninth, and that's just me spitballing. You could really have it the way you want it. You could put any of these guys in any type of position, put them in any inning. It really doesn't matter, and it takes a lot of pressure off Williams. It takes a lot of pressure off the starters as well. I think Cashman really did a phenomenal job. I understand maybe he couldn't get a starter. I think maybe there was probably something that went on there where he couldn't get another starter. I'm sure he'll release whatever his, you know, whatever the outcome was with that. But I think him getting the extra bullpen pieces really helped. And Brian McMahon has looked great. So he really has pushed all the right buttons so far. And I think Yankee fans that were doubting him, I saw a lot of TikTok videos before this day even started about how Cashman was an idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's going to mess this up. I mean, 27 years, the guy's never had a losing season. Give the guy a little slack. It's a very hard sport to be this successful. And the fact that he's never experienced a losing season is amazing to me. So I think it was a B+. You know, if they would have got a starter, it would have been an A, but it's a B+, and the team is better today than they were yesterday. So that's the whole point of this, is to go in aggressive. He was very aggressive. He was able to give up pieces that he was comfortable giving up, but we got Major League ready talent that's ready to go, and I'm very excited, and I'm interested to see what you guys have to say about it.
Yeah, Brew, what were your thoughts on all the big moves and all the big-name relievers that the Yankees did go after?
Man, I'll say it like this. I think right now, in my opinion, they have the best bullpen in the AL. Like, bro, David Bednar, Jake Bird, who, if you look at his home and away splits from Colorado, it's night and day. It really is night and day. I really love that move, to be honest, because he could go in the seventh, could go in the eighth, be a setup guy when Bednar needs a day off or Weaver needs a day off. I really like the Jake Bird acquisition. And like JV said, you have to give away some prospects to get better. That's just the name of the game. If you look at Devin Williams, I think this is good for him. He doesn't always have to close. David Bednar, if you look at his numbers since getting called back up from the Pirates, he got sent down to AAA earlier this year, but since getting called back up, he's been very, very good. So I think overall, successful deadline for the Yankees. If I had to personally grade it, I'd have to grade it an A-, to be honest.
That's fair. That's honestly fair.
Yeah, that's fair. I think, like you said, a few of the key points you hit on, the fact that they could potentially turn a playoff game into a five-inning game, and you got a guy like Max Fried at the helm to start a game one, I mean, that is a very dangerous situation. Bednar, I mean, who knew that he was going to end up turning it around, because he looked atrocious. Bro, I'm glad you brought that up. He went down to AAA at the beginning of the year, I think towards the end of April. He was atrocious.
Yes. Yeah, he was not finding the zone. Yeah, he was bad.
Yeah, and he completely turned his season around. He fixed whatever he had to fix. Listen, some of these minor league stints, they work. You know, and for a guy like that, Bird, I feel like, not that it was a steal, but I feel like he was a guy that nobody really spoke about, and he was really the only, like, bright spot out in Colorado as far as pitching-wise, especially out of the pen. Like you said, the home and away splits are wild, but that's to be expected for a guy like him. So we were on a TikTok live earlier today, and our good buddy Hector brought this up. Well, I think when this trade was made, he said that this guy Bird, Jake Bird, he doesn't throw his fastball that much. He's more relies on his breaking stuff, and he's got a nasty sinker. That's really what his you know, his A1 pitch is. I think it's a 1 or 2% chance, percent of the time he actually throws the fastball. Now, in Colorado, that doesn't bode well because the ball doesn't break the way it's supposed to. The air, we all, you know, we know how that works with the altitude out in Colorado. Now that he's going to be, for the most part, 100% of the time, pitching in situations where he doesn't have to deal with the altitude, his pitch, his ERA is obviously going to drop. I feel like his ground ball rate is going to go through the roof. He's going to get more break on his pitches. This could be, as far as the Yankees go, out of, listen, the Bednar and everything, I think this could almost be the overlooked move because Duvall, Bednar, they're the bigger names. Bird could be that diamond in the rough, that under-the-radar trade that the Yankees made. It, me, personally, I think it's my favorite out of everything they did. If as far as I give them a grade, I think I'm with you. I think they could have went for a starter. I think that would have put them into the A category. So, Jay, I'm with you. I'm gonna say he's they're at a B plus for the day. But I mean, still a fantastic trade deadline for the New York Yankees.
But you make a good point, Mike, and I'll tell you why. When it comes to Jake, when it comes to Jake Bird, right now Jonathan Loaisiga is struggling mightily. Uh-huh. Right, so he is right now. He's probably going to take some innings from Loaisiga.
Yeah,
when Mark Leiter Jr. and Cruz come back, they're going to slide into their regular roles. But I'm telling you right now, if Loaisiga can't figure it out within the next coming weeks, he's not going to see high leverage situations anymore, and that's going to be Jake Bird.
Oh, without a doubt,
without a doubt. So you're going to see more of Loaisiga, maybe in situations where the Yankees are losing like 4 or 5-0, and he's just in to eat some innings, or if the Yankees are up 5 or 6-0 and they just want to eat some innings, just to take away from the high leverage spots where he's been a little more nervous looking and a little more uneasy. So I think in that regard, it's going to help Loaisiga, to be honest with you, because something is off. The sinker is off. He's throwing it very hard. He's still throwing 98, 99. So it's not the velocity.
Seems a little flat from the some of the appearances I've seen him in.
So instead of a movement with 99, it's flat with 99, which is
that's not going to do anything for you. If he's straight and not doing anything, it's just
absolutely
you're serving absolutely it on a platter.
And because of that, he's getting away from the sinker and he's trying to throw his breaking pitches, which are the slider's hanging, the changeup is hanging. It's other things are starting to suffer because he's trying to make up for the other thing that's suffering, which is the sinker, obviously, but if he can get back to being in situations where he doesn't need to overexert himself, I think it's going to do wonders for him, honestly. And I thought getting Jake Bird was, like you said, it was a borderline steal. It really was. I know we gave up, like I said, we gave up some decent pieces in Rock Riggio. And there was another prospect that was involved in that as well. I believe it was Ben Shields. Yes, it was Ben Shields. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like I said, he's going to replace Loaisiga, but if Loaisiga can get back on track and then you get, you know, Leiter Jr. back and Cruz back, that's a pretty deep bullpen. And it's not something we had, like I said, 24 hours ago. So I'm really thrilled. And when it comes to a starting pitcher, I think the reason why they didn't get it is because, and I'm not trying to sound biased, I think there is a Yankee tax. I think this is a real thing. I think when the Yankees were inquiring about starters, that teams were raising the price a little bit and the Yankees just didn't want to go that route and they went the bullpen route. So I'm really happy with the way Cashman handled this. Instead of not addressing anything, he over-addressed the bullpen, which to me was the best way to go.
Yeah. Kind of say something about that real quick. When it comes to a Yankee tax, I do agree there's such a thing, but I'll say one thing. I think there was genuinely a starting pitcher tax this trade deadline because, look at so many teams that needed a starting pitcher that didn't make the move, well, the move that they wanted, whether it was the Cubs, the Red Sox, the Astros didn't make the move for Cease at the end of the day. There was so many teams that just didn't make that move for a starting pitcher. So, and the Yankees were one of them. And you're hearing a lot of GMs talk now. I know we'll get into it a little bit later, but a lot of GMs are basically saying, this market was heavy. The prices were too much, simply put.
It really was. I agree with you 100%. I think when in regards to the Yankees, there was a couple of more prospects that were expected of them. So, for example, Arizona gave up Suarez for 3 prospects, and I think they asked the Yankees for 4. And I think they wanted 4 prospects in the top 10, and they got a couple of prospects in the top 15 from Seattle. So, you know, there is a little bit of a difference when it comes to dealing with other clubs. I do see it. I definitely sort with the pitching, like you said. And look, there's a guy like Zach Gallen that's still going to be with the Diamondbacks, and he's a free agent. So,
right,
you know, so obviously there, and Mitch Keller. Mitch Keller was another guy the Yankees were looking at, but he was able to go to Texas, which I thought was a steal. I know Texas gave up some pieces, but to have what they have was amazing. And I really thought Cashman backed away because he just didn't want to give up that much, and maybe he'll be aggressive in free agency. But overall, it was a phenomenal deadline for the Yankees. And shifting to the Mets now, what do you, Ro, like, what did you think? I really think, at first, I was a little skeptical. I'm not going to lie. I seeing all these prospects being given up for a guy like Rogers, and then they go out and get Helsley, and those guys are both one-year deals with the Cardinals and the Giants, respectively. So, you know, if you don't retain them, what are you going to do? But you're in win now mode. So how did you feel when the deal's first broken, and how do you like what the Mets did overall?
One thing I just want to touch on, you mentioned Mitch Keller. It was Merrill Kelly.
Merrill Kelly. I'm sorry. Merrill if Kelly. I said that, I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah. I don't want anybody to get confused.
No, that's
yes. Actually, I was genuinely surprised just for a quick second. The Pirates decided to not move Mitch Keller. I guess maybe weren't seeing the packages that I guess they wanted, because I think everybody asking for a starter, at least a premier starter, I think was asking the world, and teams didn't want to do it and said, you know what? There's a ton more relievers. We're going to go get those. That's what we're going to do. We're going to overload on bullpens. And that seemed to be the trend here. What you brought up with Rogers and Helsley, I mean, all right. So when the Mets first traded for Rogers, I mean, listen, the three of us are in a group chat, and this trade first broke, and I initially read it and I freaked out. I was like, I hate this trade. What is this? It's a rental. We gave up too much. Then I just kind of calmed myself down, and now I started to look into it, and I started looking at, you know, the guys that they did give up. And I mean, if you're talking about maybe a year ago, maybe it's a little but the Rogers trade, for example, they gave up major league talent Jose Buto, they gave up Blade Tidwell, and they gave up Drew Gilbert. Now, initially, when you hear those names, it's like, wow, whoa, hold on. What did they just do for a rental, for a 35-year-old rental? Well, here's the thing. Tyler Rogers is pitching to a 1.8 ERA this season, and I believe over the last five seasons, he's at a 2.6 overall. Guy's been one of the most consistent relievers for the last five seasons and somewhat under the radar.
You literally stole the words out of my mouth. I was literally going to say that.
He doesn't get talked about the way he does, and it's almost like that scene from Moneyball when his defect is he throws funny. And that's exactly what it is. He's a submariner. Right. He doesn't hit you at 100 miles an hour. He's funky. But I had mentioned this in a video that I made. He gets people out. That's the most important thing.
Exactly.
To go back to the talent that the Mets have given up, I mean, here's the deal. Gilbert, for example, listen, highly touted. We got him in the Verlander trade that Cohen, you know, spent some big bucks to get him because he had to eat a lot of that Verlander contract. But, listen, Gilbert is approaching 25. He has yet to crack out of AAA. He's yet to make the major league roster, and it didn't even seem like he was close. The other side to that is the Mets have two other outfielders in their system that were not traded that they jumped over them. They leapfrogged them. So they had two guys that were, I guess, maybe closer to becoming major league ready, or the talent is there and, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, that seems to be the case. And the other thing with Gilbert, and I found this out later on, was where he is with the roster, very good possibility they probably lost him in the Rule 5 draft going into next season. Right. So if you're going to lose him anyway and lose him for nothing, why not go get a guy like Tyler Rogers? The other thing is I was like, wow, all right, so they just got one of the premier setup men in baseball. He can close if need be. And like I said, funky, and he gets people out. Now, I was immediately almost, because what was it, maybe a half hour, 40 minutes later, out of nowhere, which I did not see this coming. I thought, all right, they got Rogers. They gotten Gregory Soto a few days prior, which I thought was a great move. They didn't give up much for him either. Solid lefty, which they needed to replace with AJ Minter going down for the season. But we were all talking, and we get the news that the Mets trade for Ryan Helsley. And the funniest part about that was they traded almost less to get Helsley. Now, I know Rogers is having a better season, but listen, Hells Bells is, you know, this scary guy on the mound to close out games for the Cardinals. He's been elite the last few seasons. And the Mets essentially gave up less. They didn't give up any of their real top guys, nobody in the top five. To now have, like you said, the Yankees turn themselves into maybe a 5-6 inning game. The Mets just about did the same thing because you could run Diaz in the ninth, Rogers in the eighth, or Helsley in the eighth, Rogers in the seventh, Stanek in the sixth. I mean, there's a lot of options. You could play with your matchups a lot more now. I mean, are we talking about maybe the best bullpen in the National League that the Yankees are taking over the American? Maybe not, because there was another team that went balls to the walls and made a lot of big moves, but we'll get there. Overall, as far as the pitching goes, I love what they did.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you, man.
If I could get a moment to talk about the Mets real quick, even looking at the Helsley move, I mean, bro, you guys honestly didn't give up much that like a other team. I feel like a Detroit would have given up. I feel like the package that you guys got, yes, it's a rental, but who knows? Edwin Diaz also has the opt-out after this year. So what if he goes? Like that's also a question you have to throw out there. Maybe you guys re-sign Helsley or Rogers. I think maybe it's possible you guys – yeah, maybe you guys sign one of those guys, and I think that'd be very good, to be honest. I love the idea of having Helsley in a setup role. I think that's so lethal and so nasty.
Yeah. Helsley is ridiculous. I'm going to take a hit for this on one of my fantasy teams because I have him, and now he's going to be losing saves for me, so I'm going to be losing points while having him in my lineup. But I'd rather lose points in fantasy and have this guy as a setup man for my team, so I'll take that every day.
Bro, do you see the Mets retaining one of these guys in the offseason, at least one of them or both of them?
I think it really depends. With the relief market – this upcoming offseason is so interesting. If you look at guys like Devin, Edwin Diaz, if he opts out and wants one more payday, because he's been very good. Ryan Helsley, I'm sure, is going to get his pay. Man, I think they could retain Rogers. Honestly, I could see that. But it's going to be so interesting how they go about it.
I see. I think they do the opposite, and I think they retain Helsley. And maybe potentially make Rogers walk.
Could be a thing. I mean, I don't think Diaz is going to essentially go anywhere, but who knows? I think it would be wild if Helsley is down to hold that setup role to retain Diaz and Helsley. I think that would be disgusting.
I was just literally going to say, if he's cool with being an eighth inning setup man as opposed to being a closer, I think it would be a really good signing if the Mets could retain him in free agency. Unless he wanted to leave and become, like I said, become a closer and stay in that role.
Yeah,
but that's not the only move that the Mets made. We maybe have to talk about a player that came from Baltimore now playing center field for the Mets.
Yeah, you know, the big hot and heavy, it seemed like it might happen. You know, the Mets talking to the White Sox about Luis Robert. That seemed to fall apart. He didn't go anywhere. I think Chicago was asking for way too much. And instead, the Mets shifted and they brought in lefty center fielder Cedric Mullins. Look, I'll be honest with you guys. He was one of the guys, not that I essentially – I don't know if I wanted to stay away from, but my thing with him was I feel like, listen, he's got elite defense, he does. So does Tyrone Taylor. And if you've – Brew, you know he came from your squad. He is fantastic. He's very fun to watch play center field.
Yeah.
He makes incredible plays. He makes some of the hardest catches I've ever seen look almost effortless. It's insane. And no disrespect to Mullins, I think they're almost a 1A and 1B type situation, and you could put either one of them in that spot and say, yeah, he's better than him, and it's a fair argument. I think Taylor has a little bit of a stronger arm than Mullins. My only concern with him was how much of an upgrade with the bat were we getting? And, you know, listen, I looked at his numbers. He's got a ton more pop, obviously, than Taylor. They needed some sense of an upgrade. I'm not all that nuts about another guy that's going to hit in the mid to low twos and hit you 20. I mean, we got plenty of home runs in this lineup, but he is going to steal your bases. I'm just trying to see the best way to look at this, that the glass is almost refillable and not so much trying to rip apart a guy that my team just traded for. Cause I did always like Cedric Mullins, and I'm disappointed to see where I think he had a 30-30 season a few years ago, and it kind of just went downhill after that. I think he got hurt one of the years as well. I think he missed a little bit of time. I could be wrong there. If you, one of you guys know, believe me, correct me. But overall, I don't actually hate the move. I thought if they could have got Robert for maybe the same package or Robert, I don't know which way to say it because everybody says it differently. if they could have got him for the similar packages that they got Mullins for, I probably would have done it. But I essentially don't hate the move because at the end of the day, they got better. And having Mullins there is huge. I mean, we'll see. I mean, listen, they're all going to make their at least two we're going to see tomorrow. Make their debut for the Mets or later today, whenever you guys are listening to this. So I like the move. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think it was an offensive upgrade, if anything. I think Tyrone Taylor obviously was defense, obviously, but Mullins plays very good defense, and he just has the ability to run into a couple of more homers than a guy like Taylor. And he's going to produce a little bit more offensively. Yeah, the average isn't what you want to see at around 215, 220, but obviously, he's out there. He's still going to produce a little bit more, and he's going to give you a little bit more pop while, you know, providing the same amount of quality defense. So I do see it as an upgrade. I was just a little shocked that they went with another lefty in the outfield. I thought for sure they'd go with a righty, just have a right-handed bat, because I thought they were going to get rid of Starlin Marte, who was actually somebody completely I forgot about. And then when you had brought him up to me, Mike, I had said, oh, wow, that is somebody I could see the Mets potentially, you know, trading for maybe a starting pitcher, like, you know, a back-end starter, and then maybe getting an outfielder like Mullins to replace him or try to slide in a right-handed bat. I thought they were going to get a right-handed bat there. But, again, it's definitely an upgrade, and I think they have a pretty decent outfield now. And you could use Taylor as a backup just in case someone needs a day off and he fills in for extra defense, like in the late innings. I think it's a great move that they got Mullins, because I do think his bat – could wake up a little bit. Maybe it's a change of scenery, and he's going to give you the good defense like we know.
Well, real quick before I shoot it over to Brew to get his thoughts. So if Mullins brings what he's done over the last month, the month of July, he's hitting .309 in the month of July. So that is obviously, wow, you know, very nice to see. And a very small sample size, but in 22 plate appearances at Citi Field, Mullins is actually hitting .429.
Oh, now, wow, very again, nice.
It's very small sample size, but out of the 22 at bats, I'd much rather see .429 appears to a .129. Yes. So at least there's that. Obviously, that's going to come down a bit, but I mean, if he continues hitting like that, a .309, even a 270, 260, anything from what he was doing at the 220 range, I'll take. Brew, what do you got?
Yeah, it's going to be so weird seeing Cedric Mullins in a Mets jersey, because I feel like I could only picture him in a Baltimore Orioles jersey, and it's going to get – yeah, that's just a weird image, man. But I think, like you guys were saying, and I agree, I love Tyrone Taylor. Defensively, that guy is amazing. But offensively, you get an offensive upgrade with Cedric Mullins. There's no doubt about that. And I think that's going to help big time, especially in the playoffs. Like, if you're facing certain teams, certain matchups – I really like the pickup. Me personally, I think the fact that they didn't go all in for Luis Robert Jr. is actually a good sign, because it meant that the Mets front office knew the worth of Robert Jr. And they got Mullins. I mean, Mullins isn't a guy that, you know, is going to technically have the best arm at center field, but he can also play some good defense. Like, the guy does have a good glove out there, and the bat is there. So I like the pickup.
Yeah, and one of his highlights before he departed from Baltimore, he made a ridiculous catch, the robber home run in that Toronto series. So, you know, that's the type of defense you're going to see from this guy. And again, even having the versatility with Taylor and Marte could fill in here and there. I mean, it's very interesting because you know what? They got a lot of bats now. They got a lot of bench pieces. This is definitely, I felt they were either going to go center fielder or a starter. They chose to go center fielder. And you know what the other thing is too? Winker's out. He's been out basically practically the whole season. They did need another lefty. Towards the back end of the lineup, it was very righty heavy, even though McNeil is in there too. Overall, I mean, it makes them better, like I said. But if we can move on now, Brew, your team, very interesting deadline. I know you're particularly frustrated. I feel like you absolutely expected a little more. But why don't we get into what you guys did? Where are you at with this? Like I said, I know you're a little frustrated, but let's hear it. Vent to us. Let's go. This will be a little therapy session.
We're here for you, man, Brew.
Man, tell me about it. After the live concluded earlier, I just spent a good 15 to 25 minutes just looking at the ceiling, just really in disbelief, to be honest, in disbelief and shock. And even right now, as I'm going to talk about it, going a little bit of a rant, I still in my head cannot believe what the Brewers did today. I mean, we'll get into it. Obviously, they traded Nestor Cortes to the Padres. That was the first move that they did today for Brandon Lockridge. See, no disrespect to the guy. I'm not calling him a scrub, but if you look at his numbers, this guy, honestly,
he's on the way there. Is that what you're saying?
To be honest.
I'm actually very surprised. I'm surprised too.
I'm just going to laugh the pain away.
A first place team that's fighting for a division, I really thought they were going to make a splash. I really did. I had them making more of a splash than Seattle did. And yeah. I kind of thought they were going to get Suarez. I kind of thought they'd maybe get another bat other than Suarez. I thought they would maybe trade Rhys Hoskins and maybe look for an additional first baseman. I thought they were going to do a lot of things. I thought they were in for a Ryan O'Hearn. I could have saw that happening.
Right.
And nothing happened. Brew, do you think it was maybe the love for the prospects that you guys have? Mark Attanasio like really in love with the prospects, or was he just not willing to make deals for the sake of making a deal?
Man, I feel like, I mean, Matt Arnold, the GM, has talked about it because that's not the only move they made. They also acquired Shelby Miller, a very good reliever. I'll give him that. Very good reliever by the Diamondbacks. In that package, they also acquired Jordan Montgomery from the Diamondbacks, who is out for the year with TJ. And it's a very interesting way that they made this deal because basically they're taking on the contract of Jordan Montgomery. They're taking on his contract, and they're either giving a player to be named later or cash. So it's going to be one of the two. I think, honestly, it's a very creative way to get a guy like Shelby Miller in your bullpen who has a 1.8 ERA. He's been very good. He's on the IL right now. He's slated for a rehab and should be back soon. I think that was a good pickup. But yeah, JV, I think you're speaking 100% facts. It's extremely frustrating seeing a team who has the best record in baseball making these very little moves. And it's so frustrating, not even just for the fan base, but if you look at what happened before this year started, I mean, man, losing a guy like Bob Uecker and what he meant to this club, to this team, to this fan base. Like, are you kidding me? Like, if you can't do it for us, at least do it for him.
Right.
At least do it for him. And it's adamantly so frustrating seeing Mark Attanasio and Matt Arnold hoard these prospects and hoard them in the sense that you know that some of them aren't going to get playing time in the big leagues for you guys. They're going to get jammed. Some of them won't see the light of day in the big leagues for the Brewers, unfortunately. And does it have to do with the market and how tough the starting pitching market and the hitter market or the relief market was? Yes, the market as a whole was very tough this trade deadline. But there's teams that still went out their way. We're going to talk about the Padres a little bit later. And gave it all they got for a chance for a World Series. And I mentioned this before on my live earlier. If you look at the Mariners, if you look at the Padres, what they have in common, they have zero championships to their name. They haven't won a World Series. And we haven't either. And we're the best record in baseball, not making any moves. It's extremely frustrating seeing teams go out there and make moves that will benefit them in October. And we go out there, get Brandon Lockridge. No disrespect to the guy. He's probably a great human being. But also, Brandon Lockridge? Are you kidding me? I'm not trying to Kwame Brown the guy, but what are we doing, guys? Like, what are we doing?
But through the first 110 games, you would think you've done such a great job through the first 110 that the next 50, you would shore up the team a little bit more. And I'm just really surprised at them. I was also surprised at the Detroit Tigers, honestly, how they handled their deadline. Yeah. I thought that they made a couple of moves and they were just not needle moving. I feel, they have a pretty decent lead in the AL Central, but they didn't really do anything to shore themselves up in the playoffs when it's going to matter the most. So yes, even though the Brewers may make the playoffs, they're going in with pretty much the same team that they got right now. And I kind of think that they were looking at the Cubs to see if they were going to do something big. The Cubs also didn't do anything big besides get Willie Castro. That was their biggest move that they made, but it doesn't make them so much better than Milwaukee. You know what I mean? They went out and got Soroka. Again, not a needle mover. A depth piece, yes. Needle mover, absolutely not. So I personally think the Brewers could still win the division, even though they didn't add much. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Take it as frustrating. Yeah, take it as it is. I mean, is it okay or what do you think? Like, I feel like going into the playoffs, it's gonna be interesting.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Bro, if you look at the aspect of what the Eugenio Suarez trade involved, it involved the Mariners' 9th prospect, 16th prospect, and 17th prospect. You have to be out of your mind to believe that the Brewers couldn't have topped that. They absolutely could have topped that deal beyond. They could have given them a pitcher that's not even going to see the light of day this season, that's in our farm system, that's ready to go, that's major league bound. Like right now, a Chad Patrick, for example. You have to be kidding me. This is disrespectful to Brewers fans out there that has been clamoring to make the NLC, at least the NLCS, since 2018. You look at the rotation that we have right now. It's a phenomenal rotation, no doubt about that. But pitching is only going to take you so far. You know what they say about the playoffs and in the postseason, the home runs are big. The Brewers ranked 27th in home runs. That's just not sustainable, having Joey Ortiz as your shortstop. And he's top 5 worst. And OPS, are you kidding me? Are you actually kidding me? Like, it's beyond disrespectful, JV. It's beyond frustrating. I feel like it's a slap in the face to true Brewers fans out there. It's a slap in the face to people that give their time and day for this ball club, watching games, even with the thought, this could possibly be a year we can make a deep run going for the World Series, possibly in the NL. Oh, man, it's so frustrating, JB. So frustrating.
I know, and you got your pitching has been so good. It's so strong. I think it's one of the best staffs in the National League, maybe in the entire league. And then to not shore up your offense, it was just really weird how they went about it. I really thought they were going to make a splash. I didn't think they were going to look behind them. I thought it was going to be pedal to the metal. Forget what Chicago's doing. Forget what the Reds, Pirates are doing. Forget what everybody else is doing. Let's just go do it. And they did it. They kind of half-assed it, to be honest. Not even half-assed it. They didn't really make a lot of moves to begin with. And the moves that they made, they weren't really, eye-popping. So I'm really shocked.
It's not a needle-moving move. It's not a move that's going to catapult you over the top in October. It's simply not. We'll talk about Seattle later, and we'll give them major props, no doubt about it. But if you look at Milwaukee in the NL, oh, man, you have it right there, and you have a good chance to beat a Dodgers team that looks beatable, the reigning champs that look beatable big time, and you just don't pull the trigger, and it's super frustrating. Obviously, we'll get Mike's thoughts on it right now, his team being in the NL. Mike, what do you think about it?
So, I mean, my thing is, though, I will say this about the Brewers, and we did touch on this, I believe, in the last episode. They did make two very big, and it, at the time, didn't seem like big moves. But earlier in the season, I mean, you went and pretty much stole Andrew Vaughn from the White Sox. And this guy looks like an MVP caliber type player at this point. He looks like what Tommy Edman was last year in the playoffs. I mean, the guy, you can't get the guy out. He's been unbelievable. Yeah. The change of scenery really has worked out for him. And Priester was another under the radar move. He came from the Red Sox, correct?
Yep.
The Red Sox. Yep.
So, I mean, and this guy's been lights out. So, I mean, you guys made moves. Yeah, they weren't deadline moves, and I get it. This is – listen, baseball fans, the trade deadline is almost like Christmas. Like, yes. It's just your I feel like a little kid. You know, I don't know what it is. The deadline is amazing. It's a lot of fun. It's rumors, this, that. What are we doing? And, you know, and to see this frustration in a situation – well, listen, I've been there. You know what I'm saying? Especially with the Mets. The Wilpon era, forget it. I mean, it's just, why are you hanging on to this guy? Why are you not trading for this guy? He makes so much sense. I don't understand. This is the clear problem. Like, you have all these thoughts that go through your head, and then to actually see your team sit there and just not go for it. I mean, listen, the Central, like you said, they have right now, they have the best record in baseball, especially in the National League. They have been overtaking the Dodgers. I think they swept the Dodgers in both series. I mean, what more do you want where you're setting yourself up for a potential very nice playoff run where you've looked good against all the top teams? I mean, you just had Chicago, and you guys handled business for the most part. So in that aspect,
we took 2 out of 3.
Yeah. And Chicago, really, like Joe mentioned, Willie Castro, all right. The biggest thing for them was pitching. They didn't do it. And the fact that you guys didn't take full advantage of it, I totally understand your frustration. You know what, though? In the same regard, if they were going to go for maybe a bat that was just over the top, too expensive, I can understand maybe not making that move, but why couldn't you guys go get a Willie Castro? You know, why wasn't O'Hearn? I mean,
right.
O'Hearn, I mean, I did not see that move coming at all. I thought O'Hearn was a good fit for you guys or the Astros. I honestly thought that's where he was going to end up. And he went to San Diego. I mean, San Diego, I can't believe what they've done at this deadline.
AJ Pearl's, he's out of his mind, that guy. He's out of his mind.
Guy's a sicko.
I mean,
he's certified. He's certified.
Bro, you have to imagine you would probably want 15% of his mindset in your organization.
Yeah.
You guys would have made a very solid move.
Yeah. And unfortunately, being the smallest market in baseball, it's just not a thing that could happen, Mike. And it's frustrating for multiple reasons because this fan base, and I'll compare it to the Mariners in the AL, this fan base deserves a chance to compete for a World Series. I know we don't spend a lot in free agency. I know we can't really attract a lot of people or a lot of players, should I say, in free agency. I understand that. It's not the most, you know, well-renowned city who wants to go to Milwaukee type vibe, but it's still frustrating, man, because they have a good culture there, the clubhouse, good energy, good vibes. And it's like, if you can't capitalize in free agency, at least please capitalize through the trade deadline. And, you know, like I said, we talked about Seattle. We're going to talk about them more a little bit later. But they did it. They did what their fan base wanted them to do. And the fact that we couldn't do that, so frustrating, man.
And where did the Padres even come from? I didn't expect them to make this many moves. To be honest with you, I really didn't see them come. They came out of left field, no pun intended, literally. They just literally came out of the woodwork. They get Mason Miller. It was like they retained Dylan Cease. Everybody thought Cease was as good as gone. He's still on the team. So nothing that the rotation is missing. And they didn't give up big bats. Yeah. We thought maybe a Jake Cronenworth was going to get traded. That didn't happen. And we're like, wow, they retained all these pieces that we thought they were going to give up. And they wound up going to get Miller. I mean, they gave up a lot, but they got Mason Miller. I mean, where do they sit in the NL now? Like, are they potential NLCS? Are they potential, you know, to take over the division? I don't personally think so. But, I mean, they did a lot to shore up their team, I'll tell you that much.
I mean, you mentioned they came out of left field. I mean, in regards to all the moves they made, they came out of left field, right field, center field, first base, catcher, literally, starting pitcher, closer, because they traded for all of it. They traded for all of it. They dominated the day. They dominated this market. I mean, listen, kudos to ownership. Kudos to management for getting things like that done. I mean, Ryan O'Hearn and Ramon Laureano, both. That one shocked me. The Mason Miller thing, he was becoming available. It seemed like Philly might have been a favorite. Then they went and traded for Johan Duran. I mean.
Then they're three out. They're only three out of the.
Yeah. And you would have assumed San Diego was probably out on a guy like Miller because they got Suarez.
Right, exactly. 100%. Yeah. Great point. Great point.
You know, so they really left field, like I said, right field. I mean, they came from everywhere, every angle. And they traded away practically every. They depleted their whole farm system.
Yeah,
it's gone.
They got Nestor Cortez. Great. Yeah, so that's another
point. What? What did you get Nestor Cortez just because? Like, I don't understand.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy.
I don't think they have that much left-handed starting pitching, so that they went and got a lefty. That's got to be the only other reason, no?
Well, I don't know. I guess they have short-term memory because I guess they forgot what happened to the Yankees. They better not put Nestor against Freddie Freeman.
Just make sure he's healthy. You don't bring him in after missing 8 weeks. That was the problem.
Well, there's also that. So, I mean, I just San Diego truly shocked me. You knew they were going to do something. They were going to make a big splash. Obviously, you have to. You're in the West. The big bad Dodgers are in your way. They have this big rivalry with them. They want to take them down and everything else. So, I mean, San Diego seems to get close and no cigar. I mean, how many more times are they going to put talented teams together like this and especially go absolutely crazy at the deadline? Who's to say they don't? Who's to say maybe they didn't leapfrog themselves into becoming the favorite in the NL? I mean, the moves they made, listen, they gave up a ton of young talent. Some of these guys are going to pan out. Some are not. I mean, listen, they're used to this. They did this for Juan Soto. San Diego seems to not care. They develop pretty well, and see you later. We're going to go get the guy we need and do what we got to do. All respect to it. I can't hate on it.
And look, they're three out of a division. They took over the third spot in the wild card. So they're going to go for it. And it makes sense. Like I said, they gave up a lot. But to give up a lot, you're going to get a lot back. So it's a double-edged sword. I get it. You know, you don't want to depart with certain pieces of talent. But to make your team better, you have to sometimes. And honestly, the Padres really put themselves in a good position to try to fight for that division. It's really crazy to say that they're in striking distance. If their offense could just, you know, keep up, they may make some noise in the NL West in the next coming weeks. It'll be pretty interesting to see what goes on. But I mean, maybe shifting now a little bit. Who's the biggest loser that you guys think out of the deadline? Team wise,
I got a couple. Brew, why don't you lead that off? I got a couple.
Yeah,
Brew, you could lead it off if you'd like, Brew.
I think I have one for the AL.
I have one.
Yeah, I have one for the AL. I think my AL loser of the deadline, I have to go with the Detroit Tigers. I mean, they really just went halfway in. They didn't go full way in. They didn't go for a Bednar. They didn't go for a Helsley. They didn't go for a guy like, I mean, I don't know, man. That's honestly kind of sad to see.
Yeah, Camilo Duvall. They could have went for anyone.
Yeah, Camilo Duvall. Yep.
Griffin Jacks. I know it's in division, but they didn't even make an offer. I mean, they didn't do anything. They're actually my team too for the AL. No, so it's funny you picked them.
Yeah, they didn't do nothing. I mean, supposedly they didn't want to give up their eighth prospect for Suarez to add that bat to the lineup. I mean, that's just not a good look for a team that's leading the AL Central. Well, most likely, I mean, they're in contention for that one seed in the AL as well.
Yes.
It's just, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. Because like I said before on this pod, after Tarik Skubal, who scares you in the playoffs?
And bro, I was gonna credit you for that because I know last week we spoke about that, and you were saying even with Casey Mize having a solid year, is he scary in a game two of a playoff game? No,
not really, absolutely not.
Jack Flaherty's been absolute garbage. I mean, he hasn't pitched well. I mean, that's what you're gonna run out there: Skubal, Mize, and Flaherty. Yikes! If there was one thing they had to do, it was address the starting rotation, and they didn't even forget about addressing it. They just completely forgot they even had one.
Yeah, it seems that way.
I don't know what they were doing there, but hey, listen, I don't know. I definitely had the Tigers as my AL. My AL pick for most disappointing, and for my NL pick, it was the Chicago Cubs.
Okay. Honestly, I think that's fair. I don't think the Cubs did enough.
I don't think they did enough at all. They lost a 7.5 game lead at some point they had.
Oh, and on top of the trades that they didn't
make. Yeah, they had a 7.5 game lead.
Yeah, so you blow a 7.5 game lead and you get Michael Soroka and Willie Castro. Congratulations.
Yeah. And I mean, on top of that, they also DFA'd Ryan Pressly.
Yes, I did see that.
Yeah, so, aside from that, if I can, I'm going to jump on the AL side of it. I actually have a different answer. I'm going to go with the Boston Red Sox.
Very 100% understandable as well. They definitely
they addressed their rotation. They traded for Dustin May. May is not bad, but he's not great. He's not the guy that we thought he might have been. He's not terrible. I don't know. It almost seems like the Red Sox with pitching continue to go with projects. Giolito, Dustin May, Walker Buehler. You know, they were very in on Joe Ryan. They seemed to be the favorites to get him. Breaking news, Joe Ryan did not get traded. And I was honestly surprised because the Twins were in full sell mode. They pretty much dumped their whole – I don't even know how they're going to field the team tomorrow because they traded away so much. Another one. But, it's the Red Sox for me. I mean, when you were at the point where, you know, it was crazy because that's all we were hearing, Red Sox and Joe Ryan. There was a report that came out on Fox that the deal was done. It was not. And it definitely definitely frustrated some of our Red Sox friends, and fans. And – as this was getting reported, boom, out of nowhere, Dustin May. And it's like, okay. Not a terrible move, but they gave up the one piece that was really worth a damn in the Rafael Devers trade for him for a rental.
So such a weird.
And it's not like they did anything else. I mean, you're also within striking distance of getting yourself back into it. They got hot at the right time. I don't know. Maybe it was the wrong time. Maybe they feel like they know what they got and they're not this good. I don't know.
May's a number four to me. I was very shocked that they think that their number two is Dustin May, unless they don't, and they just think they're going to throw him in the rotation. I'm not really sure where he fits. I personally think, in the grand scheme of things, he's a number four starter. That's just my opinion.
That's fair.
Yo, could I give an honorable mention real quick to a loser in the American League?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Honorable mention, the LA Angels – The LA Angels, what are you doing? What are you doing?
We've been asking what the Angels have been doing since 2016, I think. It's been a solid 9 or 10 years.
Wow.
I mean, they bought what they're doing.
Getting Andrew
Chapin? And Oswald Peraza? I mean, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for taking him. Right, really.
Yeah, that's definitely a solid honorable mention. I mean, they're another team that, if they get hot for a week or two, they're right back in the mix. I mean, they're not far out. I don't understand what they were doing. I thought they were selling. I genuinely thought they were selling. I thought they were going to get a haul for Taylor Ward. I had mentioned that previous. I was interested to see where he would have ended up. And I think they dropped the ball. That definitely doesn't – I don't know what their deadline was. They like half bought. I don't know. It's like they bought a bag of chips that was already opened. Like, I don't understand.
They was like, oh, you know what? This bag's expired. This bag's expired, but we got nothing else.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're sitting there starving. You buy a bag of chips. It's open already. I personally don't get it. NL, what do you got, bro? Who's your loser in the NL?
Well, I got to be biased, bro. I got to be biased about it. I'll give you two. How about that? The biased one, my Brewers. I think big-time losers. How do you have the best record in baseball and not make a move for what you need? A hitter in the lineup. Some thump, and the move just wasn't made. So unfortunate. You want me to give you an honorable mention that I feel like not a lot of people are talking about that are looking at their other team in the NL West? Just, wow. The LA Dodgers. what did they really do to move nothing. That bullpen? Brock Stewart? Really? Alex Call in the lineup? I don't know, man. That's you're looking at the Padres right now making all these moves, and you're saying, wow, I hope we could have beat them in the playoffs again.
And they got Alex Call, I believe, from Washington was their biggest move of the day.
Yeah. And they actually gave up a decent amount.
You might as well get me.
Yeah, honestly, seriously. I don't know what they – I mean, listen, they're a very good team. That they don't need much, obviously, but they didn't shore anything up to make them a little bit better. So I agree with you, Brew, 100%. They let the Padres just run amok today.
Yeah. I don't understand.
Yep.
I was definitely a little shocked. I expected that like almost that for everybody else, that deflating move of the deadline, and it would be the Dodgers go get the big name and do what they've been doing. So I was genuinely, maybe that's why it feels like such a loss, because we're used to them going out and getting that big, you know, that big name. I mean, hey, though, last year we probably would have said something similar for them trading for Tommy Edman. So look how that kind of worked out.
Right.
Not saying Alex Call is going to be the next Tommy Edman, but who knows? I mean, because, listen, the Dodgers are the Dodgers right now. Again, I have a different answer. In the NL, I know three of us went separate here. I'm going to stick in the NL East, and I'm going to say the Atlanta Braves. You want to talk about what are you doing? They bought – and they didn't sell what they were supposed to sell. It made no sense.
Such a weird weekend for them.
Yeah, I mean, they purchased the Cookie Carrasco started for them tonight because they just traded for him.
That was another thing that they helped the Yankees with. They actually opened up a roster spot for us by taking Carrasco. It was unbelievable.
Don't understand that. They traded for Eric Fetty. I mean, that guy could have went to a team in contention as maybe a back-end piece. Didn't understand that at all. They traded for another starter. I honestly forgot who it was off the top of my head. And you had an expiring contract of Marcelo Ozuna. Guess who didn't leave? Marcelo Ozuna. Don't understand that at all. They floated the idea that they'd be willing to listen on Ozzie Albies, but they want to pick up his option or whatever it is going into next year. I mean, just trade the guy. I don't understand. Like, listen, you practically robbed that kid blind. I mean, you signed him for 7 years for $35 million. I thought that was insane for the talent that he was when he signed the deal originally. And you might have gotten a decent haul for him at the deadline. And, you know, obviously he has options. So I don't understand what they did at all. I genuinely don't. Yep. Rossell Iglesias, he's another one who's going to be an incoming free agent. Why is he still on your roster? And we, the three of us spoke about this. There was going to be that team that did not move people. And you know what? We all made picks about guys that were not going to get traded. And Brew hit the nail on the head and said, Marcelo Ozuna will stay a Brave. And you hit it. You hit. He did not move. Yep. And I don't understand why.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you look at that, I'm genuinely shocked. I was honestly getting ready to say, because the Padres were in talks for him last week. I was going to say, wow, I think I'm about to be wrong. But it just didn't happen. The finish line was never met. I'm pretty sure maybe they were asking. I don't know what could have went wrong. But I think the biggest positive for the Braves this week is that Ronald Acuna didn't tear his Achilles. That's the biggest positive for the Braves this week.
Yeah.
The Braves are in big trouble, I think, in the future.
And you know what? The other thing is that I'm glad you brought that up. And if I can sound off on that as well, they don't have a great farm system. So the pieces that you had that could have been moved, even if you got next to nothing, it still would have been something. You're going to lose these guys for nothing. You're not making the playoffs.
Yeah, this was a chance for them to replenish the farm system, and they did absolutely zero. They did zero.
I honestly, to me, they're the loser of the deadline. I don't get it.
There was definitely professional malpractice on a lot of teams' parts this last coming week.
Yeah.
100%.
And yeah, the Braves seem to be the one that it's like, just why did you not find the suitor? I mean, I don't know.
There was a bunch of teams like we had mentioned. The Royals were one. The Rays were one. I mean,
yeah, the Rays bought and sold that.
The Rays showed Caballero right after the game. He walked across the clubhouse to the Yankees. He was but I still don't know what they're doing team wise. Are you selling? Are you buying? They were thinking about trading Fairbanks. They kept him.
They got Adrian Houser.
They got Adrian Hauser, great pickup, but it's like, are you trying Griffin to make the Jacks? Playoffs? Yeah, are you trying to make Griffin the playoffs?
Jacks? Taj Bradley for Griffin Jacks. I didn't understand that one.
That was a very weird one because Griffin Jacks' ERA is close to 5, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it's like 4.9. And Taj Bradley was a great starter for them.
Yeah.
So,
but the other thing is, why the hell did the Twins do that? That's another thing. The Twins were in full sell mode. You go for Taj Bradley? I mean, I don't know what he's got years control. I'll look it up, but I'm very confused there.
But I was still more confused on Tampa's part than the Twins in that trade because I just didn't understand what Tampa was trying to prove. I don't see what they're trying to do.
Well, you know what?
JD, what about the Royals?
Yeah, that
The Royals were another thing. They go out and get Randall Grichuk, and I'm just like, I don't understand what they're doing. Like, you went and got an outfielder. That outfielder, Grichuk could have went to a team. And they got
Yastrzemski.
Yeah, and they got Yastrzemski today as well. So it's like, you add a left-handed outfield bat and who could also play first base, and you get Randall Grichuk. Those are pieces as if you're trying to bolster your team to keep a playoff run going. They're not even in this. They're not even in the three spots for a wild card. So it's like you're on the outside looking in. You probably should have sold because I don't think you'll be one of those teams to make it. You're not going to be better than Seattle. You're not better than Boston. And you're sure as hell not. You're not better than Texas. So, I mean, Texas alone. If they don't make a move, you don't have anybody better than Evaldi and DeGrom. So. I don't see how they're going to leapfrog over four teams. I don't see it. Or three teams. I don't know what they quite did. But, bro, maybe if you know what they did, because I truly don't know what the Royals were doing.
Yeah, they also got Bailey Falter, starting pitcher from the Pirates. I mean, they're 54-55. They're one game out of being 500, being a 500 ball club. I mean, this is genuinely confusing. From the Royals. I understand maybe they still want to make a wild card push, but I don't know, man. I understand the Angels are 53-56. They're 3 games out of 500 being a 500 ball club.
And a team like Cleveland, if you want to go to Cleveland, they're 2 games out and they didn't make a move.
Yep.
So I'm confused about what Kansas City was trying to do because they got have a bunch of teams to leapfrog. So I was just very confused about those guys that they got, because those aren't needle movers. Those are pieces if you're already in a playoff spot and you're trying to shore things up. So I didn't understand quite what they were trying to do.
As far as
how Tampa, did you guys feel? Go ahead.
As far as Tampa goes with Taj Bradley, he has 4 years left to control.
Oh, wow.
So there you go. There you go.
And they traded him over to Minnesota. I'm very confused there. Honestly, that to me, that was a steal for Minnesota. Yeah. You gave up Griffin Jacks for him. I mean, okay. But listen, that's how we view it. But listen, Tampa has this reputation that they make a move and they seem to be committing highway robbery. But I don't know.
What were you going to say, bro?
I was gonna say, how do you feel about the team with the best record in the American League? How do you feel about their deadline in the Toronto Blue Jays?
That's actually a great point that you bring up. I will say this. I know Shane Bieber is a good starter. I'm not going to take anything away from him. I just don't see how it puts them over the top. I know his fastball velocity is down, and he's more of a pick-his-spots, use-his-stuff type of guy. He never gave the Yankees fits. I don't think he's given anybody in the AL East fits. He's a good pitcher. He's a very solid pitcher. I know he won a Cy Young 4 or 5 years ago. I think he won it in the shortened season, the COVID season. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I think they needed to go for a Gallon. I think they needed to go for a bigger name, a little bit more talent. I'm not really scared of what they did, honestly. Maybe that's me just being crazy. I don't know. I potentially think they could have went a little more aggressive. I thought they were going to be more aggressive, and they weren't to me. But what are your thoughts, bro? Me as a Yankee fan, they're 3.5 out. They've picked up – they were 6.5 out literally 5 days ago. They've picked up 3 games in 5 days. So I'm not worried. I think the Yankees are back to playing a little bit better ball. But Toronto really could have separated themselves, and I feel like they didn't do a good enough job. What do you think?
I think when it comes to the Blue Jays, I do like the pickup of Bieber because I think I don't believe he's going to test the market this offseason. I think he's going to opt in to that $16 million he's owed for next year. I think he's going to probably opt in into that. And they also made a good pickup for Louis Varland, who has a 2.02 ERA from the Twins. That was actually a pretty decent pickup for their bullpen. I know they picked up Dominguez or Anthony Dominguez yesterday or 2 days ago. And they also got Ty France, a bat that doesn't really strike out a lot. Kind of fits their mold. So it's decent. I understand that they don't want to go all the way in. But you know what? At the same time, they just have to keep doing what they've been doing. Kind of a power of friendship vibes and just continue going on with their role. And maybe now, it sticks, maybe it doesn't, but
do you think we'll that see. They have do you think they have enough to continue to, you know, maybe win the division? Or are they gonna drop down and maybe become a wild card?
I think that's honestly a great question. I mean, obviously, you look at the Yankees, they made substantial upgrades at this trade deadline. I think the American League East will probably go down till probably the last week of September. It's going to be right down the wire. I think the Yankees, like you said, they gained 3 games. I mean, it's going to be a tough race. I think the Blue Jays are going to be still competing for it until the very end. Yeah, I think this is going to be a race till the very end.
And where do you see the Red Sox maybe fitting in there in the, when it comes to in the division?
Yeah, they might be chopped.
Yeah, I think they didn't do enough. It's crazy. I really don't think they did enough, and I think it's going to be a two-team race.
I agree. I agree.
I'll be honest with you. I actually, under the radar, maybe unexpected type moves, I actually really like what Toronto did. Maybe they could have done a little more. I thought that might have been fair. The Varland move, I thought, I didn't know if he was going to get traded or not. I really liked him. I wouldn't have minded him as an option for the Mets. And, you know, like the Mets went a different way. There was something we had spoken about, I think, an episode or two ago, where what I liked about Varland was he has one of the higher, I think he was in the top 10 in left on base percentage. And I believe he was also in the top 10 in ground ball percentage for a reliever. Listen, that's what you want. And his K rate isn't terrible either. You know, so that was a nice move for me. I think that's going to benefit them. Bieber, it's, you know, like Bruce said, you probably have him for a season and a half. And I mean, you could catch lightning in a bottle. I mean, the guy has the talent. Is his stuff still there? How much of it is still there? What's left over? You know, so that could be a sneaky pick. And Ty France, I don't hate that either. I think that was a nice fit for them as well. Listen, I think they got better, and they've been playing fairly well. They've cooled off a little bit. They went, you know, a little toe-to-toe with Baltimore in the last series. But for the most part, I think they've been playing solid. And I think their moves are a little kind of under the radar, if I'm being honest. And I do like them. And the Red Sox, I don't have them really doing anything. Again, Dustin May and Steven Matz out of the bullpen. That was their deadline. I mean,
very underwhelming, I'll say that at the least.
You know, maybe they're just not – they don't feel this is the team. Maybe they feel they're going to go heavier in the offseason trying to sign some starting pitching and trading for it. I don't know. I really – Boston is very interesting. I don't know, but I in a sneaky type of way, I do like what Toronto did.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. If we're talking about the Twins, I guess we have to talk about the big piece that they moved because we haven't gotten into that yet. And honestly, I still – not 100%. Like, I'm in shock, but wow. They – about that, but yeah, that's kind of crazy. Carlos Correa is now back in Houston. Who would have thought that?
Yeah, Carlos Correa in Houston was a complete shock to me.
Yeah, you want to talk about coming out of left field? I mean, that was wow. That was entrance 30 to the Royal Rumble being a special guest. I mean,
that was for real,
easy.
That was wild.
I didn't have that on my bingo card. I did not have Correa going back to Houston. That was nuts. I mean, but Houston addressed an issue. They lost Paredes for what seems to be the rest of the season and potentially maybe a touch of next, you know, to open up. I mean, Correa, I'm willing to play third. that's apparently, you know, what he's willing to do. And that's what he's going to do, because actually Houston's about to get Jeremy Pena back as well. I've heard a lot of people try to say that this was the biggest or the best or the most valuable trade of the deadline. I don't know. Where do you guys sit with that?
I don't agree with that at all. I don't agree with that.
So what? What would be your value trade of the deadline? Not a team's entire haul. Just one trade that you say, wow, that to me is that was the steal or the best value you're gonna see.
Honestly, it was Johan Duran for the Phillies. I think what they were able to get is somebody that they haven't had, and it's an electric reliever who could close games as well, who throws 104 miles an hour. I mean, it was a no-brainer. They did what they had to do. Their pen has been talked about for years, how they don't have that big guy that could come in and really make a difference. I actually said yesterday when they got him that he was going to be the most impactful player in this deadline, and I still stand by that, even with what my team did and whatever other teams did as well to make themselves better. I still think Duran is going to make that big of an impact in that Phillies bullpen.
That's fair.
I have to go with Eugenio Suarez to the Mariners. I think why the way that people were talking about that package, it didn't live up to that. The ninth prospect, 16th and 17th. I'm sorry, but the way people were talking about a guy with 35 plus home runs, they really thought that they were going to get at least a top five prospect.
Yeah.
And maybe the hit by pitch scared some teams. Maybe it did, and maybe it dropped the price. Maybe they didn't know if it was going to be a lingering issue. Who knows? But I think the Mariners got him for very good value. And who knows? Maybe they re-sign him in the offseason.
I personally think they will. I said whatever team gets him is going to sign him, and I think they will.
Yeah, that's definitely not out of the realm of possibility. I definitely think that could be a thing. I don't know. Jay, I'm gonna go with you. I like the Duran, as much as I hate to admit it, because it's Philly. I thought that was the value, honestly. I thought that was the wow. And the funny part was it came right in between the Mets reliever moves. It was Tyler Rogers, then the Duran thing got announced, and then 10 minutes later, the Mets were like, hold my closer, and they went and traded for Ryan Helsley. So, I mean, that was a wild stretch of time the day before the deadline. So, that was very interesting. And as far as the Mariners go, yeah, dude, I mean, you go and get Eugenio Suarez and Josh Naylor, you shore up your lineup. That was been the thing. Jay, you called them out and said they're not going to do it because they always promise, and they never deliver. Well,
yeah.
I mean, listen, that pizza finally showed up. I mean, you know, we'll see how this works out.
And I told them, I said they have to prove me wrong. I will not pick them as somebody who's going to make a move until they prove me wrong, and they finally did it. They finally gave their fans what they deserve. Yeah, they did it. They did what they had to do, and they kept their pitching intact, which is unbelievable. So they have a phenomenal 1-5 starting lineup. Starting rotation, and their 1-5 in their lineup is legitimately scary. It's very scary.
Yeah, now it is.
You're not wrong.
I mean, we're talking about a situation now. I don't really want to go into too much of an awards thing, but I mean, listen, Aaron Judge is out right now, and it was a battle between him and Kyle Raleigh for maybe the MVP. Maybe this is what, if Raleigh continues his success and stays healthy, maybe this is the move that, or the incident that maybe catapults Raleigh over Judge, maybe for an MVP. I mean, we'll see how that goes. But
or Judge comes back angry and he just goes
nuts. He could. But Seattle was they're one of my biggest winners of the deadline. That
agreed. 100%.
It's funny because you know when a team makes a move either the day or two before the deadline, with all the action and all the rumors, you get so overwhelmed you almost forget that it happened. You know.
Yeah, I know.
I agree.
But I don't know. This
small winner, a very small winner. I want to give shout out to Oakland. I really like the package that they got in return for Mason Miller. Very good by Oakland. Oh, sorry, Sacramento. You know what? I don't care. Cry me a river.
Well, you know what, bro? That's actually a good point. Because now they have some young talent that they can headline for that Vegas move when they actually get to Vegas.
Yep, 100%.
That is for sure. Yeah, I agree with you also. I think that that package they got back for Miller is very interesting. I believe he has an opt-out, no? Going after the season?
Who?
Miller.
I think he has 4 years, bro.
No, he's got 4 years of control, man. Yeah.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, 4 years of control.
That's why they gave up what they did.
I thought he had an opt-out. I got to look that up.
Yeah, they gave up the third best prospect in all of baseball.
I got to look that up. I feel like he had an opt-out. I don't know why. If that's not the case, that's insanity. Oh, God. Him in San Diego for the next 4 years. I hate that.
Also, a small shout-out to the Rangers.
Free agent in 2030, Mike.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. 2030.
Yeah, he signed a 1 year deal last year for $765,000, but he goes into arbitration.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why I thought I heard earlier that he had an opt out or something along those lines.
So yeah, for the next 4 years, the next four and a half years, he has to go through arbitration to get his money. So yeah, that's why this Padres traded for him.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that I blame him. And again, I didn't think they were going to be in the market for a guy like that. Like I said, with Suarez being there, so this deadline was wild. You know, like I mentioned earlier, I think this, I could be wrong. I counted the trades earlier. Since the middle of July, overall there have been over 60 trades, 62. I believe exactly. And today alone, I think we're at 33 is what I count. I might have miscounted, but
no, yeah, that's literally insane. 50% of the deals that were done today. That's crazy.
Yeah. And I tried to find it. I looked for a while. I tried to find the most deals at the deadline and I couldn't find anything. It really said there's no way to determine that, which I don't just count. I don't know how there's not a way to determine that. I thought this deadline might have broken records through all the trades that went down. I think this was crazy. Honestly, this was one of the best trade deadlines of my existence at this point. I mean, this was insane.
But like Bruce said, it was the best one since 2021 when, you know, there was a bunch of moves that were made that year. I think the Dodgers got Trey Turner.
Yeah.
That year, and they got Scherzer. So up until then, it was very quiet. And this year, it was fireworks. I'll tell you that was.
Yeah, they made the 4th of July look like amateur hour with the fireworks that were going off. It was insane.
For real. Yep.
Yeah, man. I absolutely love the deadline. Even, I know we didn't talk about it a lot, but Texas getting Merrill Kelly and Danny Colom, bro. Very good pickups for them, the Rangers. And JV, you called it. What a week between the All-Star break. They turned their season around. The Rangers did, and you called it.
Yes. Yeah, they've gone, I think, 8-2. They've literally tied themselves with Seattle for that third wild card spot. And now they have DeGrom, Kelly, and Eovaldi.
Wow.
Dude, if DeGrom could stay healthy, that's wild. That's a wild starting three right there. And in a five-game set, I would not want to face Texas in a five-game set. That's all I'm saying.
Nope.
That could get dicey.
I know the Yankees beat up on Texas about a month and a half ago. They beat DeGrom and Eovaldi. They actually pitched in those two games, but I don't want to have to repeat that again. I don't want to have to go through that again.
I think that's a fair statement.
Regular season and the postseason is two different animals, and I don't want to have to see DeGrom in a game one and Eovaldi in a game two and a Kelly in a game three. So steer away from me, please. And if their offense does anything like what they're doing now, that's scary.
It's scary times.
Yeah, I think, you know what? Maybe this extra wild card and a few extra hours to the deadline is – done some justice because this was crazy. My other takeaway outside of you mentioned Kelly, a lot of starting pitchers that did not get traded that had heavy rumors surrounding them. Keller was one. We talked about him a little earlier. And Sandy Alcantara, I'm genuinely surprised that he is still a Marlin. Maybe they're looking at, this is the logic I came up with, that he's been pitching well of late. Maybe they think, all right, you know what, let this guy finish the season strong and show that, you know, that guy does still exist. And maybe that's an off-season move where they feel like they could maybe potentially fleece somebody.
Bro, what do you think about Alcantara not getting dealt at the deadline?
I think he would have got dealt to the Yankees if they threw in Spencer Jones in that package, but they didn't want to throw in Spencer Jones in that package. And honestly, the way that Cashman was talking about it, it just seems like Jones has become a little bit of an untouchable, unless it's for a guy like Paul Skeens or maybe even a Jose Ramirez. So, fair enough. I know we're going to see a bigger sample size out of Sandy, obviously, in September, August. And yeah, in the offseason, I feel like he's going to be a winner move, kind of in the same way Joe Ryan might be a winner move as well. And it's going to be interesting. Who might get him in the offseason? If he continues pitching like this, I'll tell you what, they're making the right move.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's going to be a bidding war again in the offseason for Alcantara, I'll tell you that much.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that could potentially give back a better haul, maybe than this deadline. There was obviously a ton of rumors, a ton of teams were connected to him. I don't know what's going to happen there. That should be, obviously very interesting. We briefly spoke a little bit about Dylan Cease. I don't know, for San Diego to make up for some of the prospects that they traded away, maybe that's why they were looking to move Cease. I don't know, but now the moves they made, and they're going to get King back in, I think, a week or two. I mean, that team is very scary. Joe Ryan from Minnesota was another one. I mentioned it over and over and over again. I tried my best to speak it into existence for me and my Mets fans. I wanted Joe Ryan to be a Met. That was the move I felt that was, there. We touched on it. The Red Sox were coming in at the final, the final couple of minutes that they were in. Then they traded for Dustin May. And I'm just sitting here like, all right, the stars are aligning. They're going to go for it because the deal was supposedly announced, or maybe misannounced, if you will. And then it was quickly taken down. So it was like, that kind of grabbed my attention. Like, why? And then the Dustin May move happened, and I said, please tell me that they're going to pull a fast one here and steal this guy from the Red Sox.
I'm pretty sure John Boy Media actually were live, uh-huh, and they were, like, streaming, like, the deadline and, like, going through, news and information, and they reported that he was a Red Sox. And then 10 minutes later, they were like, oh, wait, he's not a Red Sox.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They were flipping out. They're like, oh, no, Ryan went to the Red Sox. And they're like, no, wait. Yeah, so it was pretty roller coaster of emotions those last 10 minutes.
Yeah. What a deadline, man.
For real.
Yeah, what a deadline. You know what? Like I just said, and a lot of the big-name starting pitchers stayed put. I thought it was going to be the big-time closers that had control that were going to stay. I didn't see all these guys getting dealt. The Helsleys and the Rogers made sense, sure. But Miller, I didn't think they were going to do that.
Me neither. I didn't see that coming, to be honest with you. Man. I actually saw like a Severino getting dealt, bro.
I was also surprised he didn't go.
Me too. Honestly, if you look at the relief market, Ro, I mean, Mike, you even said there was going to be one guy with control to go. I thought it was going to be maybe Emmanuel Clase. Unfortunately, he had other ideas with his partnership with FanDuel, so that didn't happen. So it looks like we're missing out on Clase.
That was good.
So Mason Miller it was.
Oh,
and Duran, Johan Duran, another guy. He's got another 2 years also.
Max, yep.
This was a reliever-heavy deadline. They seemed to be the trend. That seemed to be where teams wanted to go. They were willing to do a 3-for-1 for a rental of a reliever or not a rental. I would also say that a few in the top 100 prospect wise got traded. That's another interesting point. What does this mean going forward and how these teams do business going into the deadlines? I mean, it seems to be if you have a reliever as a rental, you're actually going to get some pretty solid value back. So, you know, a lot of craziness went down today. And it was funny too, because it seemed like to all happen at once.
It really did. Yeah. The last 2 hours were wild.
No. There was like a movie. You know, a few things, but it was like one trade would happen, and then a minute or two later, another trade would get announced, another trade would get announced, and then it just went cold for 40 minutes, 30 minutes here, you know, analyzing the deals, this and that, and then boom, another 3-4 moves get rattled off, and then we get another cool down. It was wild.
But I did feel bad for Brew, though, because he's looking at all these teams make moves, and he's just wondering when his team was going to make the move, and to get to like the 5:30 hour, you could just see how depleted he was.
Yeah.
Santa Claus never came. Santa Claus never came, bro.
That's I'm sorry. When Santa Claus came to my house, I'll bring you something, bro. Don't worry about it.
Thank you.
If but we got a,
it's a reality check. It's a reality check for sure.
Yeah. But at least you know what, bro. At least you know that you aren't trying to sell and rebuild. That you still have a good team. So at least you have that much.
Yeah, and Jackson Chirios on the IL. Let's go.
Oh gosh.
Listen, folks, everybody listening, we have been completely chewing your ear off about all these trades. And you know what the funny part is? I don't even think we got into half of them. I genuinely don't even believe we got into half of them.
I think we hit the highest ones as much as we can, with probably leaving out a bunch of people. But like I said, 50% of the deals that were done today. So
yeah,
it was a busy day.
Guys, in the comment section, if you can, give us your biggest takeaway. What was maybe that sneaky trade that went down that, you know, might be more valuable than people think? Obviously, the big ones are the big ones. The Mason Millers of the world, the Cedric Mullins, the Ryan Helsley, Camilo Duvall. I didn't see him going to the Yankees. That one did shock me.
Yeah, that was definitely a...
A lot of craziness. Johan Duran, even Jaren Duran didn't get traded, and he was in heavy rumors, and I was genuinely surprised. I'll say this. So if we can, I don't even think we got into half of these, but give us your biggest thoughts, your biggest takeaway, your biggest winner, your biggest loser, your biggest, what did you just do? Because that's always the deadline. As usual, before we go, we do the trivia. For the first time in our show existence, our guest is going to do back-to-back trivias. He answered it the start of the episode, and now he's going to lead us off for another one. So, Brew, what is your trivia question part two?
You know, as they say, it was so nice we had to do it twice, so check it out. the question this week is, what player was traded at the deadline in both the 2009 and 2010, leading each of his new teams to a World Series appearance? This is
That is like a Harvard University type question.
I mean, Brew's going to have to start writing our trivia questions, because that is fantastic.
That's a really good one.
That's tough. All right. I gotta dig a little bit. Dig in my brain for that. Maybe we'll figure it out.
I love it.
Yeah, no, that is a very good question. That is a very good question. I will say this, Brew, these last two episodes have been fantastic. Having you on with us has been awesome. To get a different perspective outside of just the New York stupidity and what we deal with on a regular basis, has definitely been a lot of fun. I don't see why in the future we have you back up with us. I mean, this was great, obviously, if you're willing. I can't stress it enough. Even the live today, everything you did to prepare yourself for this, you're definitely was a pleasure to do this. I'll definitely say that.
You know what? It's been an absolute pleasure. I mean, even having this opportunity, just like the last episode, I'll kind of say it again. It's been such an amazing just environment that you guys have here when we talk baseball, and the way that we talk baseball, I wouldn't have it any other way. Even the live earlier on TikTok, it was amazing, because it was like Christmas all over again. We're getting these gifts, and I got Cole. I got Cole, ladies and gentlemen. So, it was pretty good.
That's amazing.
I mean, the baseball gods is not fair. Brew's a good kid. Do something for him.
That's really not nice.
I'm a normal kid, but it's been amazing. I love it, and I'll for sure be back as long as you guys are cool with that. It's
absolutely my pleasure, man. I mean, listen, I just want to say, you know, just to piggyback off what Mike was saying, but you put up great content. Your videos are great. You have a lot of energy. You're doing a hell of a job, and we just want to say it was a pleasure having you on, and we're definitely going to have you on again, probably at some time. But you know, don't stop what you're doing. You're doing a hell of a job, bro. So if no one's ever told you, I think you're doing a hell of a job.
Thank you. I really do appreciate that. And at the end of the day, we all have one thing in common, and that's the love for the game of baseball. And there's still half a season left, and we're going to ride it out. We'll see where we go.
Absolutely, guys. Brew, if you could just real quick for everybody listening, in case you guys forgot, just throw your handle out there one more time on TikTok or the best place to find you. If anybody else listening wants you to be a guest on their show, maybe.
Yeah, appreciate that. Basically on TikTok, it's Brew Crew Sports World SW. So Brew Crew SW, but the SW stands for Sports World. Either way, you can look up the username is Brew Crew Sports World. So it's pretty simple. Brew Crew Sports World on YouTube as well. Brew Crew Sports World on Instagram. Basically everywhere it's Brew Crew Sports World. So I just end up covering all baseball teams, not only the Brewers. Yes, I do kind of do biased Brewers content every now and then, but at the same time, I keep it very objective and cover a lot of other teams. So keep an eye on it.
100%, bro.
Absolutely. Listen to everybody out there listening. As usual, guys, thank you for hanging out with us.